This gospel gives us a lot of insight as to how God works in our lives. Jesus is consistent here and in our dealings with us. So it really is useful to look at this gospel in a deep way. Jesus has done a lot of work. He's fed the people spiritually and physically. He's exhausted. He's got to find a way to pray. As God, he's omniscient. As a human being on earth before he rose from the dead, he's limited by, as we all are, by our physical body and a human mind. And so he must communicate with God the Father, and he needs to get away. So he sends the disciples packing. After he dismisses the people, he heads for the hills to be alone. This is not a mountain he's on, although it says mountain. It's the hills of around the Sea of Galilee. You can see from up there all across the lake. So Jesus would have had a good view of the disciples going off in the boat. You can see Elijah, when he goes to listen to God, he's called to Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. It's the same mountain. That's where he's going to go, where the Ten Commandments were given. Jesus is often seen on a mountain because he's God. So you have that image there. Jesus insists the disciples get into this boat. Four of them are fishermen, at least. And seeing the wind and the waves that evening, they probably would have resisted going, but Jesus made them go. And sure enough, halfway out, they're in trouble. They can't make headway. The wind is against them. They're bobbing in and out. Just thinking about it makes me seasick. Ooh, there's my dad's boat again. And the key here is the Lord sent them out into the storm. And where is he during this whole thing? He's sitting on a mountain watching them. Does this beginning sound familiar a little bit to anybody? How many times I've lived this story? You say, "Where are you, Lord?" I picture him. This sounds like bad theology. Well, it is bad theology. Sitting on a couch in heaven watching me, drinking nectar and ambrosia or something. This is not God at all. But you get the impression he has better things to do sometimes than to help us. Why should he help me? You know, but this is not the Lord's, this is not why the Lord is leaving them out there. They have to go through something on their own. They are out in the middle of the water. So are we. We're in the midst of life's work. They've taken the challenge. They've done what Jesus said. He, for his part, prays the whole night long. He gets up to the fourth watch of the night. That's between 3 and 6 a.m., the last 3 hours of darkness. It's been dark for a long time. And it's dark for Jesus, too. He sees what's coming. He spoke intimately with his Father. We are all called to speak with God and to find some time to get our bearing, to see where we're going, to get a reality check. And if we can't head for the hills, at least to get an understanding of what God wants from me in this situation. But eventually, the disciples too have tossed all night. Night is a symbol for suffering and struggle, the time when God is somewhere far away. Here comes Jesus. I can't figure out why Jesus does this. Notice how in public Jesus is very reticent to demonstrate that he's God. He will heal people when they're asked, when he asked, raised a couple people from the dead, multiplied the loaves and fishes. But here he is walking on water. Only God could do a thing like that. Why does he walk so close to the boat that he can be seen? Does he want them to call out? They think he's a ghost and he scares them to death. I'd be scared to death, too, if somebody came walking on the water. Bad enough, you know. They thought, oh, my God, you know, what is this? And, of course, they don't recognize God in the moment. He's in the circumstances of life, but they don't recognize him. But when they call out, he says, "This, we should probably have this all over our door somewhere. Courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." I'm reading this book by... It's called Joshua's Fire. Somebody gave it to me. It's a story about some very small child, this boy that had this near-death experience, and he comes back speaking only as a child could. Okay, something fell. That was good timing. Thank you, Lord. Well, not everything a child says is enlightened, but he said, the Lord told me that there are times when he sends into people's lives, this is what the child called it, a dare, daring us to do something, daring us to step out of the boat and do something in which we don't have the resources to finish it, daring us to do it. We've all had this experience. If we don't take the risk, we get nowhere. You don't take a risk with an investment, you get nowhere. Don't take a risk with your faith, you get nowhere. Risking in relationships, risking with God. Peter's the only one that takes the dare. If it is you, let me come to you on the water. What a daring thing to say. No wonder Jesus made him the head of the apostles. He was willing to go out and do something that nobody else in the world ever did besides Peter. As far as we know, he gets out, walks on the water. But of course, the waves are high, the wind is blowing, and Peter suddenly realizes what he's doing, takes his eyes off Jesus, and down he goes. What a metaphor for life. Peter can't do it on his own. And Jesus stretches out his hand and catches him. And then he says, boy, I wouldn't have liked this if I was Peter. I'd have been, oh, you of little faith. That's Jesus. There's 11 other people on the boat that didn't even get out. Why are you calling me a little faith? What about those other jokers that were just sitting in the boat? That's what I would say to the Lord. But he would say to us, I'm going to keep challenging you. If you take one dare, I'm going to give you another. Because it is only in this life that we can grow without seeing Christ. This is why these stories are so critical. We may find at times in our lives, God is very absent. We're in the middle of the sea. It's getting stormy. Where are you, Lord? I thought I was doing your will. I'm doing everything right for once in my life, let's say. And yet the storms are coming. I'm not being rescued. In other images, we see Jesus asleep in the back of the boat in this situation. So it happened more than once to them. This is the Lord. It's allowing us to go through something. In this brief moment of life, there are times when he's not going to come right away. He's going to wait till the last minute, the fourth watch of the night. When he does come, we won't recognize him at first. But it's all for our benefit. And in the end, he tells us, you had nothing to fear. This is my world. I've got you in my hands. You just had to go through this and grow in faith. This gospel, then, is a metaphor for our spiritual life, just as the first reading with the wind and the fire and the earthquake. Jesus is speaking on different levels all through our lives in ways both subtle and not subtle. When our Lord waits on the mountain watching for us, it's not because he doesn't love us, it's because he does. He, like any parent, there are times when a parent has to let the child go and learn from themselves. That's called growing up. And this is what Jesus does with us. We wouldn't get anywhere if he came immediately to our assistance in every situation. He does in a way. So we pray that God will give us grace if it's the fourth watch of the night for anybody here, or the wind or the waves are high and God seems absent. We've been there before. It's all in the scriptures. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid.